Also im Prinzip geht es um eine Kontaktaufnahme. Als wir die beiden schwedischen Künstler gefragt haben, ob sie teilnehmen wollen am Berglides-Festival, kam recht schnell auf, da Hambus Musiker ist, Organist, der in Paris auch in einer Kirche Musik macht und in mehreren Ländern auch mit Künstlern zusammenarbeitet, dadurch auch die Verbindung zu Leif Algren, der dazu kam, dass wir da Halle Händelstadt ist, auf die Kompositions- und Komponistengeschichte der Stadt eingehen wollen und das auch in Verbindung mit Leipzig. Es kam nämlich sehr schnell raus und das haben wir jetzt in den letzten beiden Tagen in unseren Begehungen von Händelhaus, aber auch vom Bach-Archiv in Leipzig mitbekommen, wo wir fantastische Unterstützung hatten von Herrn Birnbaum, der hier ja der Intendant des Händelhauses ist, aber auch von Frau Wiese im Bachmuseum und Herrn Altenburg, der uns eine tolle Führung gegeben hat, dass die beiden Komponisten sich zu ihren Lebzeiten nie getroffen haben. Und das ist etwas, das in der Forschung zu beiden Komponisten auch weiterhin bearbeitet wird, allerdings nicht wirklich fraglich ist, weil sich da alle zur Abwechslung mal einig sind. So scheint es zumindest. Und wir wollen jetzt im Oktober das Medium des Radios dazu nutzen, über die Geschichte des Electronic Voice Phenomenons, das ein Schwede, nämlich Herr Jürgensson, damals entdeckt hat in den 50er Jahren, wo es darum geht, die Kommunikation mit den Toten über Radiowellen hörbar zu machen oder überhaupt, dass sie hörbar werden und das zu untersuchen, zu versuchen, jetzt diese beiden Komponisten posthum miteinander in Verbindung zu bringen und in Kontakt treten zu lassen. Das so in Kürze.
Ihr wollt ja da auch, also von dem Friedrich Jürgensson, der ja so schwedischer, wie ich las, Archäologe, auch Opernsänger, Maler und Forscher ist, also so ein Multitalent oder auf vielen Gebieten unterwegs. Und der hat eben dieses Audioscopic Research Archive erschaffen, das ihr da präsentieren wollt. Vielleicht da nochmal einen Einblick, was ist mit diesem Archiv da gemeint ist und überhaupt mittels Radio irgendwie mit Toten kommunizieren, das klingt für mich dann doch erstmal recht spirituell.
Ja. Geschaffen hat er das Archiv nur insofern, als er es über die Lebzeiten, also Dekaden, zusammengetragen hat. Das Archiv selber wurde von einem schwedischen Kollegen von Leif und Freund, Karl Michael von Hauswolf, zusammengetragen, der das dem Anfang der 2000er im Zuge einer Ausstellung, dem ZKM, Zentrum für Kunst- und Medientechnologie in Karlsruhe, sozusagen übergeben hat. Und dort kommt auch die Leihgabe her, die wir freundlicherweise von dort erhalten und hier in der Kulturstiftung des Bundes ausstellen können. Mhm. Dies wird vom 1. Oktober, da geht ja das Radio Revolten Festival los, das Knut Aufermann leitet, den wir gestern auch kennengelernt haben. Also wir hatten hier zwei sehr intensive Tage. Da wird es ausgestellt und wird dann bis zum 30. oder 31. Oktober hier zu sehen sein. Die Performance selber ist dann am 8. Oktober um 21 Uhr in der Moritzkirche und wird live übertragen nach London, wo es ja dann eine Stunde früher ist. Dort starb ja auch Händel, das heißt, man hat dort auch einen Kreis, der sich sozusagen schließt.
Now maybe the question to our guests from Sweden, to the artist Leif Algren and Hampus Lindwall. And we just discussed a bit who's the scientist and also opera musician Friedrich Jürgensson. Leif, Herr Hartung told me that you are the one who collected really the archive. Could you maybe tell a bit more about the audioscopic research archive and how it works with to talk to like dead people through the radio? What's the idea about that?
I must say that I was not the one that collected the archive. Actually, that was my colleague in Sweden, Carl Michael von Hauswolf. He had the opportunity to find this archive of thousands of tapes after Friedrich Jürgensson, after he died. And he had the opportunity to give it away to ZKM in Karlsruhe. So, but I've been working a lot with this kind of EVP technique, and I've been working with a guy in Chicago. His name is Michael Esposito, and he's one of those key figures that is traveling around the world the whole time and doing this kind of EVP research. EVP stands for Electronic Voice Phenomena. And this guy, Friedrich Jürgensson, sort of discovered, you can say so, there was several forerunners before him, but he was one of the first in the end of the 50s that discovered that he sort of captured some sort of phenomena on tape, electronic tape, you know. And he started to investigate this and started to concentrate on what was this that he found on the electronic tapes. So after a while, he found a method to do it. And I mean, it is like looking into a microscope or something and enlarge a sort of picture, but this is audio material, so. And he did this during a long period of time, and it went so far, actually, that he recorded without the microphone. And of course, I mean, if you are aiming to capture voices from the other side, I mean, they don't necessarily use the sort of, what can we say, the media, the air or whatever, where our human voices or all sounds that are in this reality go through. So he understood that it could be possible to just use the electromagnetism that were on the tapes.
For me, as a person who's not believing in spiritual things, it's hard to imagine that there is something I could hear and I could interpret as on the tape, okay, this is maybe the voice or something from a person from far behind from the past, like a dead person. So what is this phenomenon? What does it sound like on the tapes? Can you describe it? What you can hear on those tapes? Or is it more like you interpret that this something could be this, but someone else who's not believing really in this or who doesn't know the interpretation thinks there's nothing on it?
Very true. Very true. I think so. I think you have to have the right sort of adjusted ear for to have the opportunity to hear these kind of things, you know. And there is a tradition in EVP technique, and that is when you present it for people, then you repeat it three times because it's so short sequences. It can be only maybe one word, two words, maybe three words. I mean, rarely you can hear a full sentence. So these guys that have been working with it, really digging down into it, they always use this technique when they should present it or put it on a recording media or whatever. So they just repeat it. So the first time you hear it, you don't really hear what it is. When you hear it for the second time, you might hear something coming out. And the third time, it can be a little bit clear, actually.
So. Mm-hmm. Would you say that this is more art, or is it really a real existing thing?
It's a very interesting question, absolutely. And I think that Friedrich Jürgensen, but also Konstantin Rodeve in Riga, in Latvia, they were approximately during the same period of time investigating this, a little bit independent of each other. A lot of people find it really silly, of course. It's very easy to find it silly. And, I mean, it's a lot of humor in it. But what can I say? In the old days, I mean, people were sitting, like, I've been collaborating with Emanuel Swedenborg, where he died 1772. And he was sitting and taking notes with this kind of vertical communication. So every day he claimed that they had this kind of, what can I say, daily contact with deceased people, even angels, of course, and all these kind of things. But he put it on paper, of course. And these guys that started in the end of the 50s, they had access to this electronic technique that was more common, that started to become more common for ordinary people during that time. So they used that in instead of a pencil or a pen.
So, and you're using the idea of Friedrich Jürgensen to try to talk to people or to get the voices of dead people, and you're building out of this idea an audio-visual performance? in the what's it called, Moritzkirche, in the church, and you're playing the organ for your performance. And maybe because we have also a Swedish organ player here, and Schwedischen Organisten, Hampus Lindvall, maybe the question to you, what is it, what you combine between Georg Friedrich Händel and Johann Sebastian Bach, who lived at the really same time, I guess, when I remember it right, they were born in the same year, but they never met. So what do you plan to, how could they meet? What is it, what you do with the performance there?
Yeah, I think this, as Leif described it, it's, and also as I think you understand it from this, that this is the, as you say, it's material that we use, and the question is always, is it true? Do you, can you hear dead people or not? And it actually doesn't really matter, because it's such a nice idea of material, or it's a poetic way of interacting with those people. I mean, another way of interacting with Bach is just to play one of his pieces or Handel. Another way could be to read about his life, etc. So it's one of the, yeah, you say, we also call it medium, and I think that's the term for all of those things. So, yeah, Bach and Handel, they were born the same year and not very far from each other. And we know that Bach tried to meet Handel several times, because he was, Handel was more famous than Bach at the time. So he even came to Halle from Leipzig. Now we took the tram yesterday. At the time, it was very complicated to travel. And Handel just left one day earlier or something. And there is similar stories like this. So they never met. We know that Bach wanted to meet Handel, and that he knew his music, because he also arranged Handel's music. It's not really sure, but most probably Handel knew about Bach also, because he must have met his son, Wilhelm Friedemann, and other musicians in the region that knew about Bach. But I think that he didn't understand the importance of Bach, because otherwise he would also have made an effort to meet him. So we will make an attempt for them to meet, but we don't really know. Will it be only through music? Will it be through our medium with the recording their real voices? Can they communicate, or will we just combine them perhaps in a performance? That's the beauty of this. That's also that it's art, it's not science. So it's more we are playing with those characters, so to say.
And maybe we will listen to this, what you already are practicing in the church, in the Moritzkirche. Maybe we can have an impression there, and then we can continue to talk about what you already have as a material for the performance. Wir hören hier erste Eindrücke aus der Moritzkirche, wie die Künstler Hampus Lindwall und Leif Elgren nämlich für das Transpositionen Werkleids Festival 2016 schon proben und versuchen, die Komponisten Johann Sebastian Bach und Georg Friedrich Händel zusammenzubringen, die sich zu Lebzeiten nie persönlich getroffen haben, und wie das klingen könnte, wenn sie sich ja unterhalten, wenn sie einen Dialog führen, an der Orgel vorgetragen. Das Ganze soll aber eine audiovisuelle Performance werden, die entwickeln die beiden Künstler aus Schweden gerade. Und nun nochmal die Frage, the question to you, Hampus. We got an impression of how it sounds, what you want to perform in the Moritz Church. But this, as I know, it's an audiovisual performance. So what else do you want to add to this? And maybe it's another question even. Do you use like a composition of Handel and Bach and you put it together? Or how does the sound here get together?
Yeah, what we listen to here is something that we recorded yesterday when we were doing the preparations for this festival. It's going to be also a small video piece that will be going on for the whole month of the festival, if I understood right. Yep. Martin can tell us where.
Yeah, the Schleifweg, where Werkleids is located.
Yeah, and because as we come back now to, this is once again interpretation, so we do like there is a dance, more or less, or like a performance, or you can call it a ceremony, or perhaps like a tribal attempt, as in tribes you have also the medicine man who can provoke spirits or something. So we had yesterday a session when we recorded the visual of this with music, where Leif is dancing or performing or doing something that could be interpreted also as something to do with our attempt in October, but with bringing Bach and Handel together. So this is the music I play here is I'm improvising. So it's a kind of a team play, because I improvise, and I also, Leif is right next to me, so I also see what he's doing, and I'm responding to that, and I'm changing a little bit, and sometimes it's more dramatic because Leif is moving more or less, etc. Mm-hmm. So that's the way this music is constructed. So it's not based at this point of anything of Handel or Bach. But that's something that we are going to have in October.
Ah, okay. So you have still a bit time left to practice and to think about how this performance will then take part on the 8th of October. Am 8. Oktober wird es dann die Performance in der Moritzkirche geben, die dann auch live im Radio übertragen wird. Und natürlich sind da alle eingeladen, auch die zu besuchen im Rahmen des Werkleitsfestivals Transpositionen. Vielleicht dann nochmal abschließend, weil uns so ein bisschen auch die Zeit davonläuft, nochmal an Martin Hartung, der Festivalkoordinator. Das Ganze ist jetzt eben diese Performance an diesem einen Abend, an dem, auf den jetzt sehr intensiv hingearbeitet wird. Aber dennoch haben Sie ja auch angesprochen, dass es in den Räumen der Bundeskulturstiftung noch die Ausstellung eben zu dem Audioscopic Research Archive gibt. Können Sie da vielleicht noch mal so ein bisschen den Rahmen spannen, was da den gesamten Oktober über im Rahmen der Transpositionen da uns auch noch erwarten wird?
Genau, ja, also Besucher, Passanten werden in der Lage sein, das Archiv, das sich oft hauptsächlich in Lager befindet sozusagen, es ist ja nicht dauerhaft ausgestellt, hier in Halle zu sehen. Es wird im Gebäude der Kulturstiftung des Bundes bei den Frankischen Stiftungen zu sehen sein, und man kann das dann durch die Glasscheiben sehen. Man wird es nicht direkt zugänglich haben können, das liegt an hat verschiedene Gründe. Es ist vor allem auch so, dass dieses Archiv nicht benutzbar ist. Sie können das nicht anfassen. Das sind die verschiedensten Tonbänder. Man muss sich das so vorstellen, wie Aufzeichnungen, die zusammengepackt werden in fünf Elemente fassendes Metallregal. Und das ist ja auch dann auch entsprechend lang. Und man kann das dann sehen. Man wird auch die Möglichkeit haben, einen Dokumentarfilm über einen QR-Code runterzuladen, sodass man sich also noch einen Kontext schaffen kann über Friedrich Jürgenson. Und es ist ja sehr nah an der Moritz Stiftskirche dran. Also die räumliche Verbindung war uns auch sehr wichtig. Es ist toll, dass die Kulturstiftung sich bereit erklärt hat, das zu tun. Genauso auch wie Tobias Fraß, der Kirchenmusiker der Moritzkirche, denn Hampus Lindwald, das vielleicht zum Abschluss noch, wird auf der Sauerorgel vortragen, die eine der großartigsten Orgeln Deutschlands ist und vor einigen Jahren erst restauriert wurde. Es fehlt allerdings noch eine Klangfarbe, die noch nicht restauriert werden konnte, ein Register. Dafür wird gerade Geld gesammelt und dieses Performance am 8. Oktober wird ein Benefizkonzert dazu sein. Der Eintritt wird frei sein, aber auf Spendenbasis hoffen wir, so viel Geld zusammenzubekommen, um die Orgel zu komplettieren.